This week's parasha is Parshas Toldos. Of course, in Parshas Toldos, we meet the famous twins, Yaakov and Esav. The beginning of Parshas Toldos tells us that Rivka and Yitzchak were experiencing infertility. Vayatar Yitzchak l'Hashem menochach ishto ki akarahi, vayatar lo Hashem. Yitzchak stands in one corner in Davins, Rivka stands in the other corner in Davins. After 20 years, Hashem accepts the tefillos. Hashem allows himself to be implored and treated by Yitzchak, and Yaakov and Esav are born. We all know the famous story of the sibling rivalry. Esav is a hunter. He grows up to be an ish sada, ish yodei atzayid. Yaakov is a simple man who dwells in the tents of Torah. Of course, the Masorah does not go through Esav HaRasha, but it will continue with Yaakov Avinu. I want to talk more about the personalities of Yaakov and Esav and a lesson that we learn from their personalities, which of course has a relevant Musar Haskel for us in our day and age. I quote from the Sefer Shalom Rav, Insights on the Weekly Parsha, Divrei Torah of Rabbi Shalom Rosner. Okay. It's entitled, Patience is a Great Virtue. When I was growing up, my father always said to us, patience is a virtue. It's a Jewish midah to be patient. It is not the midah of Esav HaRasha. Let us learn. Rabbi Rosner teaches that the very first time Yaakov and Esav step up on the scene is before they are even born. The Torah tells us, Vayisro tzitzu habanim bekirba. But Tomer, and she said, Im kein lamaza anochi. The children jostle inside of her. Eventually, of course, we learn that Yaakov is the chosen child. Esav is a rejected son. But what does it mean that the children jostled inside of her? What exactly were Yaakov and Esav fighting over when they are already in utero? Rabbi Rosner says, what lesson can we learn from these two individuals? What is it about Esav that we need to reject? What do we need to avoid in our own lives? And how is Yaakov different so that we choose to emulate Yaakov? What were they fighting about in utero? So Rabbi Rosner quotes Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer. When they were in utero, Yaakov said to Esav, there are two worlds in front of us, Olam Haza, this world. It is about eating, drinking, marrying, business. But there is another world in front of us, Olam Haba. The world to come is different. Olam Haba does not contain any of these delicacies. There is no eating, drinking, marrying, or business. Let's make a deal, Yaakov said. You take Olam Haza, this world, and I will take Olam Haba, the world to come. Of course, we all know the famous Rashi, Vayisrotsu Abanim Bekirba, famous Rashi, when she passed by a house of Avodah Zarah, well, this Kochavim, Esav jostled to come out. When she passed by the Beis Medrash, Yaakov jostled to come out. That is not a contradiction to Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer, actually. Yaakov's jostling to come out by a Beis Medrash is reflective of his understanding that there is an Olam Haba, and the way you get there is through the Torah, the Avodah of the Beis Medrash. Esav jostling to come out by the house of Ovdei Chochavim, Ovdei Avodah Zarah, is a reflection of the fact that for him, this world was the end-all and the be-all. Enjoy, eat, drink, and be merry here, because that's all there is. Furthermore, upon Esav's return, says Rabbi Rosner, from a long day in the field, he enters the house. He is tired and hungry. He sees Yaakov preparing soup. So Vayisrotsu Habanim Bekirba is towards the beginning of our parasha, Perech of Hei Pasuk Toldos. And the incident with the lentil stew is at the end of this week's parasha, at the end of Perech of Hei and Toldos. And he sees Yaakov preparing soup. He demands soup. Yaakov agrees on condition that Esav sell him the birthright. And what does Esav say when Yaakov demands that he sells him the birthright? First, Esav says, Haliteinu na min ha'adama, adama zeh ki ayef anochi, pour into me some of that red stuff because I am tired. And Yaakov said, okay, sell me the birthright. And Esav says, Hine anochi holech lamus, ve'lama zeh li b'chora, perek chav hei pasuk lama beis. Behold, I am going to die. So what do I need the firstborn rights for? Who exactly is Esav? What was he saying? Rabbi Rosner quotes Rabbi Avishai David in his Sefer Shaila Avi, who explains that Esav is all about the here and now. He has no patience. He wants physical fulfillment, physical pleasure, and instant gratification. Haliteinu min ha'adom, ha'adom hazeh, pour into me immediately this red stuff. Give me now, Esav was saying. I don't want to think about the future. I don't want to consider implications of my actions. I want gratification here and now. His name is Esav, like the Mefarshim say when he was born, from the root asui. Asui means complete or made. There is no process when it comes to Esav. He sees himself as fully formed. Finished. He reached the apex. He's a sui. He's done. He's finished. He's complete. That's it. I don't need to work on myself at all. And in fact, if somebody sees Olam Haza as the end all and the be all, that in fact, they don't need to work on themselves because they don't think that there's anything coming after this world. However, in contrast, Yaakov has a world view. He can see the long term. Yaakov appreciates, Rabbi Rosner says, that actions taken today will have future implications. That's the difference between Yaakov and Esav. Vayistrosu abanim bekirba olam haba, the world to come, versus olam hazeh, eat, drink, and be merry. And that's exactly what it says, by the way, about Esav. What does he do? Vayochal, vayesht, vayakam, vayalich, vayives Esav esa bechora. What did Esav do? He had bread and some lentil stew. He ate, he drank, he got up, and he went, and he made a mockery. He belittled the Bechora. Why? Because he was saying, what do I need in this world? I need to eat. I need to drink. Then I get up, and I go, eat, drink, and be merry. And this in itself is a mockery of the Bechora. Yaakov understands that this world is a gateway to the next world. And everything we do here is preparing ourselves for the process of achieving the next world. Esav lives a life of here and now, and that's all that counts. Rabbi Avishai David further quotes Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, who elaborates, what happened to the descendants of Esav and Yaakov? Esav received his inheritance of Mount Seir immediately, in Bereishis Perek Lamed Gimel, when Yaakov and Esav meet after 20 years. They split ways, and Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Tazayin, Vayashav Bayamahu, Esav Adarko Seira. Esav goes that day, Vayashav Bayamahu, Esav Adarko Seira. Immediate gratification. I want my portion, and I want it right now. What's my portion? My portion is Seir. I want to go immediately. And he goes on his way, Bayamahu, that very day. As opposed to, Rav Soloveitchik points out, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov goes down to Egypt. He doesn't go to Eretz Yisrael. His portion is Eretz Yisrael, but he understands that there's a process. Yaakov initiates the process of building the nation. He has to go down to Egypt before he can go up to Eretz Yisrael. It's a process to form a nation and then ultimately return to Eretz Yisrael. Esav cannot deal with processes. If he doesn't get it right now, he's not interested. Yaakov understands, quote, there is much to gain from the journey. Yaakov has patience. He's able to wait out the process in order to build a future. An example of this is his planting trees in Egypt. We know when they took the Atzei Shittim Omdim, they took the Shittim wood into the desert for the planks of the Mishkan, for the wood of the Mishkan. Where did it come from? So Rashi famously tells us, Yaakov saw in Ruach HaKodesh that they would need to build a Mishkan. So he took Atzei Shittim from Eretz Yisrael, planted them in Egypt, and commanded his children, when you leave, take these with you. It's the foresight to realize that life takes time. Avodas Hashem takes time. Forming myself into a person takes time. Esav can't deal with processes. If he doesn't get it now, he doesn't want it asui, made or complete. Yaakov, on the other hand, didn't want get his portion by Yamahu like Esav. He went down to Egypt. He planted trees. He can see far in advance and he could plant ahead. Esav's hashkaf is one of immediate fulfillment. Soup now versus birthright. The Bechor in the future. This world, Olam Hazeh, Vayochal, Vayesht, Vayakam, Vayelich, versus the world to come, the Schar of Olam Haba. Mount Seir, Bayamahu, versus Egypt. I'm in it for the long haul. This reflects two diametrically opposed worldviews. Rabbi Avishai David concludes, this is, quote, the illness of our generation. We have a sickness, but we must have immediate satisfaction. This is from the influence of Esav, the need for immediate fulfillment, for having it now. Don't forget, we are in Galus Esav. This is Galus Romi, Galus Edom. Galus Edom, Galus Romi is the descendants of Esav. People want, and Rabbi Rosner, interestingly, says, quoting Rabbi David, we want everything now. People want to have the whole Torah now. They want all success right now. But I think even an example, how we order things online, Amazon Prime, I think they even have something called Amazon Now, if I'm not mistaken. We expect things to be on the porch tomorrow. I ordered it yesterday. Where is it? Check the tracking number. Why don't I have it already when we send a WhatsApp? Why aren't the two checks blue? Why hasn't she responded immediately when we send a text? Where is that person? How could they have not replied immediately? This is the influence of Esav, the need for immediate fulfillment. Rabbi Rosner points out that all too often in Tanakh, a lack of patience leads to disastrous ramifications. For example, because the people thought Moshe was late in turning from Har Sinai, Shemos Perek Lamed Beis, Vayara Am Kibosh Esh Moshe L'Radis Min Ha'ar, Vayikalua Am Al Aron, Vayomar Kuma Seilenu Elohim Asher Yechul Lefaneinu. Because of their impatience, they built the golden calf. Concludes the teaching of Rabbi Rosner, we need to be more patient, to advance gradually, to at times forgo immediate satisfaction for a better future. Esau's downfall was caused by his desire for immediate gratification. Yaakov's patience and consideration of the future led him, and I will say his nation, to great success. We must prevent Esau's attitude, haliteni no mina adom ha-adom hazeh, from leaking into our lives, and we must strengthen Yaakov's hashkafa amid of savlanus. May we always be cognizant, Rabbi Rosser concludes, that patience is a great virtue. Rabbi Soloveitchik, I don't have time to quote it, but I prepared fully. Rabbi Soloveitchik speaks very powerfully about the midah of patience and Knesset Yisrael. For thousands of years, we repeat every morning, Ani ma'amin be'amunah shleima b'vias ha-mashiach va'af al pi shayis ma'meah. Thousands of years passed, the divine promise is not yet fulfilled. Everyone laughs and mocks. God has long forgotten you. And yet we keep waiting. We sit on the ground on Tisha B'Av, we cry. And every day we say, I believe with perfect faith in the coming of the Messiah. And this is the ultimate patience, the ultimate antithesis of immediate gratification. We know in the right time, Be'ezras Hashem will come. And until that day, we patiently cleave and cling to God, waiting for our ultimate fulfillment. It should be b'mhera b'yameinu, amen. And this is the antithesis of an Esav HaRasha. It is Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Ishtam Yosef HaHalim, who teaches us the path to patience in Avodas Hashem. Thank you for learning with me. Have a wonderful day. And Be'ezrat Hashem, Shabbat Shalom. Kol Tov to all.